Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk with the window open because it's hot here in New York. And I am joined by my friend Heather. Heather?
This is Heather Owen Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from the other side of that heat system here in Minnesota, where it was hot this afternoon and just had a huge line of thunderstorms and a few tornado scares, and now it's much cooler. So we're
it
on
dropped.
The other
it
side.
It got
of
cold.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Suddenly.
It changed the seasons. Mm-hmm. And well, hopefully Mark will be joining us. I saw him Tuesday, and he said he was coming. So I'll see him around 9. He goes, yeah. So I'm going to keep an eye out for him because last time we got on talking, and he was sitting here waiting and not listening. So I got the switchboard up, Heather. I'm going to be in charge. You got it up on
all
your
right.
side, too, right?
Yep, I can see it. So we'll both keep our eyes out open.
We'll keep our eyes out for Mark. And what we're going to do here on Access Astrology is we talk about what's going on in the heavens, May 17th, and then we take some calls and talk to you, our listeners, about what's going on. And this week, of course, big news, Mercury is leaving his shadow. Venus is leaving her shadow. And Saturn and Uranus are having a trine, which they don't do very often. Now, the last time they joined was in 1989-90. They were in Capricorn and with Neptune. And they join up, and Saturn takes 29 years, and Uranus takes 84 years. So their cycle's long because they're going to meet up again. So right now they're doing the closing trine of the 90 conjunction, which is, of course, when Russia fell. And Europe broke open and the Berlin Wall fell. And we have Saturn-Uranus aligning in new ways. And Uranus, of course, is in a fire energy. Saturn's in a fire energy. And the nodes of fate last week on the 2nd popped into Leo, another fire sign. So we have a grand triangle in fire in the heavens. And we got that much fire up there. We got a lot of fire down here on Earth. Because it's all the heavens are on fire. And, of course, Venus is in fire, and Mercury up until yesterday was in fire. It's a fiery world. So what have you been noticing, Miss Heather?
I notice what great relief that Mercury got out of Aries and moved into Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been trying to sell a house in the midst of all of this. And we had an outrageous amount of people who jumped into it the week that Mercury turned direct, and we had so much, 6 offers, 4 of them backed out after they put their offer in. So, you know, with Mercury-Uranus, people can jump one way, but they can also jump right back out again. There's nothing solid or firm. So we're hoping
this fourth
offer.
What made them drop out? They just decided they couldn't do it?
Yep. You know, like, boy, we going to offer you $30,000 over asking. Oh, that was too much. Never mind. And, you know, it's been a real roller coaster over here.
Yes.
But I kind of expected it. I just didn't expect how much. But
how
I
much
didn't
of
get
a
too
roller
attached.
Coaster.
It's been a study in let's just work the process and not get too attached. But
right.
I
not get too attached to how much money they're
Mercury,
offering to pay me. Wow.
Right. As Mercury moved into Taurus, they put their assurance money down. And
money where the mouth is, right.
Right. And so we're negotiating back and forth on a few repairs, but it looks like we're on. And that wasn't happening until, like, the hour that Mercury moved out of Aries. I can feel that the settledness, a lot of people have complained to me about extreme anxiety over the last few months with Mercury-Uranus conjunction in a fire sign. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's enthusiasm for some, but for so many it felt just anxious, just a lot of voltage in their nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And I can feel that shifting down a notch with Mercury in Taurus.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing people saying, I got the first good night's sleep in a long time. And that feels totally right with this.
And that feels really good.
Mm-hmm.
Venus
and Mars are moving into a sextile. Venus is 12 Aries, and Mars is 18 Gemini, but they're moving close together, and then they stay, you know, into a sextile that lasts through two-thirds of the way through June. And, you know, it's they're in fire and air until the first weekend in June, and then they go into water and earth. But I can feel also that warmth and friendliness and supportiveness and the beginning of new relationships and better friendships and interesting connections with that Venus-Mars sextile, which is nice considering all the political and personal volatility in the air.
Right. And they're cooperating. There's an element of cooperation that says, okay, you know, we need to do some different stuff now.
Mm-hmm.
We need to change this up. And that's good. And they kind of, if we do that, that helps. But it also, we're going into Sun in Gemini, which is always big. Now, Saturn, you know, the Sun before it goes into Gemini, it's going to be a 28 Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to square the nodes of fate this week on Thursday, Friday, which is a fated moment, F-A-T-E-D, where we all get to pick a direction. We all get to pick how we're going to proceed. And our job with this is to kind of say, okay, what's the plan? Where am I going? What does this look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to give that permission to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the other piece that happens is there's a trans-Neptunian planet called Admetos, and the Sun goes over Admetos, which often marks a permanent ending of something, which is this week. So this week has a really kind of ending quality of things, not the least of which the Venus retrograde, which we've been playing around with since January, she clears her shadow. And she's still in Aries, so she's still feisty, but she's done with the emotional review of what you want. And she's now going to be running in the same way Taurus, Mercury clears his shadow at 4 Taurus, and he kind of calms down and says, okay, I'm committing. So it's an interesting week because it has a lot of commitment energy to it. But it also has a hard closing energy, so a lot of letting go and saying, well, we're not going to do it that way, we're going to do it this way now. You know, so it's an interesting time.
Which brings us to some of the politics of the week. And we see that Robert Mueller has been appointed, who was head of the FBI, the week before 9/11 happened, up until 2013, and has been appointed as special prosecutor on the Russia investigation. He also served during the Vietnam War, and he gets to go up against Trump here. Now, so speaking of endings and, you know, finishing up old karmic process, I see that Donald Trump's progressed moon is at 29 degrees 40 minutes Cancer, and it's about to go into Leo in his 12th house. And so his, you know, its progressed moon is stepping out of its comfortable sign and into fire sign, about to conjunct Saturn, and then moving into conjunct Pluto in about a year. So it's going to be interesting to see what that all brings down.
And more importantly, how. And Robert Mueller's chart, for those of you in the listening audience, is August 7th, 1944. Now, he's got Saturn in Cancer, square to Neptune. And Heather and I were talking before the show started. He's got, you know, if you do a noon chart, he's got a late degree Pisces moon, which I think if he's a military guy and a cop and a fire, you know, a prosecutor and all that, he's probably got a, born a little after midnight, middle after high noon, and he's got an Aries moon. And he's worked in service. And he's a stellium in Leo and a stellium in Virgo. So the Leo part's the charm and the Virgo part's the tenacious. So it'll be interesting because he's got a really interesting chart. And he's got Pluto right now trining his Mars Chiron, which is bringing him back into power and saying, okay, who's somebody that we all can agree on? And so it'll be interesting to see. His Venus, nicely, is placed on Trump's ascendant. So I think initially they'll get along well. And we'll see. And his Uranus, of course, is 12 Gemini, being activated right now by Mars. So that's why we kind of pulled him out of retirement or wherever he's been. So
yes,
it'll be interesting to see.
And his Venus and Trump's ascendant have that, are being aspected by Uranus. Exactly.
And Saturn.
During
that
time.
And
so,
he's got an
Uranus and Saturn are forming a grand trine to Mueller's Sun, and to Mueller's Venus. So it will end, which conjuncts Trump's Mars and ascendant. So, you know, you're definitely engaging. You can all see the warriors lining up to argue with each other. And he's just coming into clarity himself. Neptune has been opposed Mueller's Mercury. I think he had some good time off after he was FBI and got a chance to take a break. So Neptune's getting off his Mercury. I think he's waking up and ready to go back into motion.
Back into
which
the
will
fray.
Be interesting to see. Right.
Yeah. And he and Donald, interesting, both have the same Saturn. They both have Saturn in Cancer. So that means a simpatico in terms of their age, and their also their vision of what's possible, or their insecurities on some level. Now, Trump's is going to answer to his moon in Sag, and this guy's is going to answer to his probable moon in Aries. Maybe his moon in Pisces, but it's going to answer to one of the moon. because he's a warrior, he worked in Vietnam, I kind of think he probably has a moon in Aries. Plus, he's a cop, so moon in Aries. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. So that's the news for the day. And also, we all kind of watched, you know, the late. I mean, I don't know, Heather. I go to work, you know, I get on the phone and I talk to people. People come to my house, and then I come and I check my email or my Yahoo News, and I go, you know, this little kind of wincing thing, because it's like, you know, you're away from your computer for a half an hour, and the world changes. So, you know, the nice part about when everything gets into Taurus in June is it all slows down, but we still have to get to June 6th to have it slow down a little bit.
True.
And then it's kind of like, okay, thank you, we're slowing down, thank you. So I can't wait, frankly. I can't wait. No Mark yet. I haven't seen Mark show up. Mark, you're not out there, right? Raise your hand if you are on a different phone number. So what other things? We got the Gemini moon, the Gemini sun, rather, which, of course, marks spring officially. All the daffodils gone. All the tulips, all the cherry blossom leaves fall off. It's like, we lost the beauty of the bloom. Now
it's
we're
the
in
early
the grow.
Spring. Well, that's one advantage of being here. We've got a little bit longer time. Our lilacs just came out fully.
Oh,
now,
okay.
Yeah. And I'm wondering, you know, this Saturn-Uranus trine, I think it's a big one. And I'm wondering, you know, it usually means good shifts of our foundation. And I'm using it to move to Montana.
Right.
But much of the... you know, I think it's really good for us to think about where do we want our foundations to shift, into what direction. Because it's a trine.
Right.
We've got some opportunity.
Yeah, and
that,
trines,
you know,
are really very collaborative.
In politics, there's a potential for good shifts, but, you know, it's still upsetting some of the foundation pieces. And, you know, let's keep an eye out on tectonic plates. Because often when I see Saturn-Uranus aspects, you know, there's a release of tension because things shift. Now, that can be, you know, lovely emotional patterns, or it can mean, you know, the tectonic plates shift.
Right. And also with the nodes now shifting into Aquarius-Aries, we had the whole cyber attack thing that was going crazy all weekend.
Yes, that's
last week and this week. And, of course,
security.
The south node's in Aquarius, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Shifting our sense of security.
Yes, affecting our security, but it's also Aquarius rules computers. And now Uranus is trining Saturn, right? Saturn's saying we need to be tougher, Saturn, with Uranus, how you get into the computers and how you run them and what you do. So that trine is actually productive because it's going to say, okay, you know, we are so internet dependent, if it goes away, you know, what the heck happens to us? And then more importantly, once it does go away, how do we get it back or how do we secure it? So that whole piece, you know, that totally speaks to the Uranus-Saturn trine. And there was something when I hopped on research. It's a very strong research energy. Uranus is breakthroughs and Saturn is research, and especially in Sag, you know, research in universities often or in higher-minded institutions. And there was just an article, which I didn't have a chance to read, saying they think they might have found something that is very deadly in the fight for against cancer. So that would be cool because that's totally the kind of thing we expect on trines. It's a technological breakthrough. When Steve Jobs would announce the next greatest thing that he made at Apple, always Uranus Saturn trines. A lot of times major innovations or major revelations, Saturn Uranus trine, or the people who did them had those planets talking because it's about the structure and it's about changing the structure to a new reality, and in this case, a visionary reality because of the fire. It helps us see the vision. So that's good. And we go, okay, let's see the vision and let's figure out what we want to do with it. So it's kind of positive, I think. So, I'm hoping at any rate. If it's not positive, you know, what can I say? But I'm like, can we get some good news? We need some good news. Let's have some positive news. We figured out a cure for cancer. That would be great, you know. We got something that goes in there and mops up the cancer. You know, they had that a couple of years ago. There was a Saturn-Uranus aspect, and they had this little thing that would eat up plastic in the ocean. And I'm like, wow, that's so cool. You know, they kind of – it's always something really interesting and kind of cute that they show up with, you know, when these transits are going on.
Now we just have to get them actually working.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. All right, so anybody wants to call us, our call number is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. We have one caller who has their hand, and press 1, raise your hand, and we'll call on you. And did we have any emails from people?
I believe we did. You can go ahead.
I didn't see any
let's
this
take,
week.
Let's take this caller, and I will look up the question that came in.
Okay, cool.
So why don't we go ahead with our first caller.
Okay, cool. Hi, 631-419, you're on the air. How are you?
Hi, how you doing? This is Chris, Debbie's son.
Okay.
How you doing?
Good.
How are
you? How can we help you?
I'm good. How you doing? So, yeah, I just wanted to know, I actually wrote it down here. I have to give you my birth information, right?
Yep.
Yep.
It's 5-9... September 6th, 1988.
Okay, wait, September 6th?
1988.
1988, yep.
5:25 a.m.
And where?
Bayshore, New York.
Bayshore, okay. And what's your name and what's your question?
My name is Chris.
Chris, okay. What's your question, Chris?
Honestly, just... if there is anything that just stood out in my chart that I should know about, and and my health. And that's pretty much it.
Okay, so September 6th, 88, at 5:25 in the morning.
You know, we all have birthdays around the same time. Chris. I'm September 4th.
Heather, you're going to take this because my friend is just arriving. I'll be right back.
Okay. I'm September 4th, and I think she's a little bit September 13th or 11th, so she's September 11th. So what in particular would you like to know? You've got a wonderful, you know, your chart's full of contradictions, and you looks like you've got a bit of attitude that there is probably you want to make the world happy and keep everybody happy, but you're always kind of pushing with your Mars and Aries and want to kind of push the world and can get a little hot under the collar, defensive.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And the Moon-Venus conjunction in Cancer, you feel everybody's pain and you want to be a good guy and it's a little hard to take risks sometimes for you, so you kind of back into situations. But, you know, when you're ready to take on something, it's pretty wonderful what you can do.
I'm back, right?
So your progressed moon in Leo in the 12th house for the moment, and, you know, your progressed Venus in Virgo is beginning closer to your ascendant. You know, you've been through a lot of upheaval over the last year, or last 3 years, I would say, as Uranus squared your moon. And now you're trying to figure out, it looks like, how to do that deep inner work so you can heal things in your life and put some pieces back together that got shaken up.
Exactly.
Right. So what was your question? How, you know, can you get more specific? Because I don't know you. And
you said health. Health looks okay.
Yeah,
but a lot of
yeah,
times
health
with,
was one of them.
One of the
how's
a lot of
stomach?
Times with your chart, you're, because of the Uranus ruling the fifth, the sixth house, it tends to burn the candle at both ends. Or it tends to have a health, a body response, because your sun's on the south node. Your body responds to illness or responds to stress by being ill. So the inconjunct from the moon to the Saturn and the Venus to the Saturn can say, hey, you know, if you're really feeling out of sorts, your chart can really feel, you know, unhappy or ill and not good. And so that should be easing up. But
yeah,
also,
I just say, I'm sorry to cut you off. I just say health because I have a lot of, like, health issues going on right now, so that's why I asked.
Yeah, that, well,
you
that's
do.
The inconjunct. The inconjunct is health stuff, yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, that's one of
tied
the ways
stress,
that you take learn to take care of yourself. Instead of pushing it away, it looks like you've sort of counted on being taken care of, but then push people away for taking care of you. But you're learning now how to do it for yourself. And that's going to be tricky. You tend to feel stress in your gut with the moon in Cancer and Virgo rising and south node in Virgo and sun in Virgo. So it's all digestive. And there may be other things going on with
too.
You, but I would say, yeah, you always need to come back to your guts and what you're eating and how you're absorbing and is your food in balance for what you need. Do you practice any form of martial arts?
It's funny you say that. I was actually not at the moment, but I was thinking about taking up boxing.
I think that would be great, or consider something like, you know, Aikido. Or Taekwondo. I think the martial arts more than just the boxing, because I think you want to really learn how to be a good warrior in a noble way, but you don't want to be hurt. You know, so it's really good for you to work out, but working out in a way that's pushing off on one another, but not necessarily getting hurt or hurting.
Yeah.
So.
Seriously,
consider one
of
the martial arts,
this,
which is about, you know, defending yourself and working with the energy, not beating people up.
Yeah.
I think you
it
stay
also can
in
have
more.
Some. There also can be some dental stuff going on right now, which is
dental
really
stuff?
Part of the dental, teeth, you know, get your teeth
paid attention.
Clenching a lot, grinding, wisdom teeth coming in, that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
In addition to the digestive health issues.
Gotcha.
But your system is delicate. When it gets stressed, it gets sick.
Yeah,
that's your body's
yeah.
way of saying you need to take a break.
Yeah, that too. And just one other thing, I just wanted, and just, you know, I had questions about, like, you know, just maybe do you see anything in a career and relationship? I don't, and when I say relationship, I don't mean as far as a girl, just like as far as good people coming into my life and overall, just overall, do you see good outcomes? That's all.
I mean, outcomes in general in your life? Yeah. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
you've
part
got north
of where
node
you are.
Pisces. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you have a Saturn return, which is what you're having, you know, it really is about you getting to carve the life you want to have out. And you've had Saturn go over your Saturn twice now. You got a third pass coming in the fall. And so what Saturn says to all of us is, well, what is it you want your life to look like? And a lot of times when you're as sensitive as you are, you like to fix things for everybody else, and you don't really think about what you need. So part of what this time is for you, and one of the ways the universe gets our attention when we have a health issue is it says, okay, get sick and lay in your bed to think about your life and what you want. And it helps us focus because it kind of takes us out of what we're good at, which in your case is taking care of other people and rescuing people, and you know, and people know you're very good at that, and saying, well, what actually do you want? You're also really psychic, you know, and you've got that Pluto in the third house and the moon in Venus, so you absorb other people's energies.
Yeah.
So if you're hanging around with people and feeling crappy, you come home and you go, yeah, I just feel bad. You know, every time I hang out with Bob, you know, I feel rotten. Don't hang out with Bob because you're like a little sponge.
Mm-hmm.
And you have that sponge quality, and so you have to kind of wring yourself out. And right now what your chart is doing is saying, so where do you feel good, where do you not feel good? Let's work with that and understand that on a different level. Right, and that will help a lot. And Saturn returns are a time where we feel a little isolated, a little alone, and a little like we have to kind of stand for ourselves and say, well, what do I want? And with your sun on the south node, this is a giver chart. It likes to give, but sometimes it can get in its own way because it gives almost too much, and then you pull in a lot of takers. And you also have to
shut down and pull back in. You know, you kind of like give too much, and then you refuse to give anything, and then you give too much. So you got to find a healthy balance between your needs and their needs.
Okay.
Yeah,
but, you know, Neptune's been on your north node in the seventh house. Normally, you have a chart of somebody who can have sensitive relationships with kind people that can help you feel better about having a heart. But with Neptune opposing your sun and on your south node, you've been around people that you've been in some illusions about who's good and who's not.
Exactly.
And you've been disappointed in people. And that's
been
going on for a couple of years now, and is just about, I'm going to just double check, but learning to see through the illusion and learning to see through issues to kind of really get where you want to be, that'll be clear by next March. So all this year learning, instead of being suspicious, look, just try to see people clearly. So you begin to trust yourself more about what you're seeing in people.
And write it down. You know, when you have that sense of, I think they're kind of, write it down, and then you can go back and see how often you were right. Right? Because that's the other thing that's happening. All the Neptune is helping your psychic stuff get more sensitive. You're already a sensitive guy. Our culture really doesn't know what to do with sensitive men. And so part of it is, as a high sensitive, you know, getting in touch with your sensitivity and owning it and being happy with it and understanding its gifts to you. Because that's, you know, this is a really lovely chart, but it also is, it can be hard in this world, especially right now, because the world is really crazy.
And you may have to do an attitude adjustment, because one of the things you do when you're sensitive is you get that chip on your shoulder, and you get so defensive it's hard for people to reach you. So just be a little careful with that.
Yeah, my mother just put a thumbs up on that one.
So
we like it that Mom agrees with us. Okay,
we've got
good.
Other questions. And
wait, what did you say?
Good luck. I said we have to close up with you because we've got other calls on the line.
But
we only have 60
much.
Seconds left, Heather. We're not
take
doing
care.
Anybody else. So bye, Chris. Take care. Good talking to you.
You too.
Okay,
bye-bye.
And thumbs up to Mom. We like that you liked it, Mom. I always like it when the moms agree with us. Yay.
Okay, so we're
done
good.
With Access Astrology. We're hanging up. We're moving on. Let's all send Heather some juju, healthy energy to sell her house so she can move to Montana and be with her beloved Wren. Even though we don't know that she really wants to leave Minnesota because she's had so much fun there. And
yes,
she's leaving behind a beautiful home that she and Wren
so
nested and made,
now.
But now going off to another beautiful home. So.
Yes, and you'll have to come visit me out there. And the caller
Montana, I've always wanted to go to Montana.
We will answer your call at the beginning of next show.
Yes, well, yes, we definitely will. And take care, and everybody have a great week, and watch for lots more excitement between now and next Monday. It's the world is a wild and crazy place.
Mm-hmm.
Take care. Bye-bye. It's
take
Ann Ortley signing off from New York, the Bright Red Desk. Going to go play
and
with my
Heather
friend
Ann Robin,
Dunford, who's visiting.
And Heather, you best from the Minnesota. Bye.
Yay. And Mark never joined us, so we guess he's sleeping. And take care. Bye.